welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest today is my friend, Ariane Thomas, who is an incredible lady in many, many different ways. Welcome to the show, Ariane.
Well, thank you, Dr. Valerie.
We are going to have some fun today. And for people who have listened before, Ariane's been on the show talking about crystals and different types and things like that. She's quite knowledgeable with crystals and crystal healing, and she is my elder mentor also, which is really fun. And not that she's much older than me, she really isn't, but but she's very wise. So I have asked Ariane today onto the show to talk with me about chaos and moving from chaos into order, and the use of quantum physics in our everyday lives to help us in that respect. And I'm sure that you listeners are really going to enjoy what Ariane has to impart, because she's a sage. So so this is going to be fun. And, you know, a lot of times I'll sit here and go, wow, I didn't know that. So this is going to be great fun. I'm looking forward to it, Ariane.
Well, thank you, Dr. Valerie, for all your kind words. It's certainly been a pleasure being your mentor and passing on the little tidbits of information that I've picked up over the years.
Well, you know, it's a tough job, but somebody has to do it.
Right. I know. I know.
She's well, brave, listeners. She's really brave.
And listeners, I also have to tell you that Dr. Valerie is one of the finest doctors I've encountered. And so we have a little mutual admiration society
going. Yeah, thank you so much. So today, let's have some fun, and let's tell the people how to get out of the pit. You know, I always liken this kind of stuff to, like, you know, they're standing there and they're digging their own pit, and it's getting deeper and deeper, and they're moaning and throwing their hands up to the heaven, oh God, why me, why me? And meanwhile, they're digging the pit deeper. And you know, you throw them a rope and they don't want that, and then you throw them a ladder and that's not good enough either, and you know, and they're not getting it that they have to actually do something and pull themselves out of the pit. So let's give them a few hints as to how to do that.
Okay, I've thought about that and have actually gotten a few remedies of the way to get started.
Excellent.
If we're talking about chaos and order in our lives, basically sometimes we find that everything in our life is in disorder. That, you know, the house is a wreck, your office is a disaster, the children's clothes are piled up everywhere, you can't walk into their room, and you can't find a thing. And so what? I mean, why don't we live in chaos?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the universe live in chaos? And if you look around and look at astronomy, you think, well, the universe is chaos because we have all these stars in this chaotic pattern, and we have the universe moving out in a chaotic pattern. So what's wrong with chaos? And actually, that's not true, because there is order in the universe.
Absolutely.
And that's what quantum theory tells us, is that although quarks and the very smallest particles of life and atoms and elements are tiny particles which include waves, and they can be anywhere at any given time. Once they come together to start creating form, there is a structure to that form.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have structure, then you are able to create. And creativity is the basis of life.
Yes.
And so that's where the quantum theory kind of merges with what we do in life, is that from the very smallest particle that makes up the very smallest element of life to huge planets and solar systems, there is an order. there is an order that holds the universe together in a cohesive pattern.
Yes, in other words, listeners, there is a plan.
There is.
So don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say that, I think of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know. If there was just a big button we could push.
Yes.
The don't panic button.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you can create a don't panic button.
Yeah.
Just draw a big red circle on a piece of paper, tape it to the wall, and whenever things feel like they're getting out of hand, just push it.
Yeah. Yeah, make it big enough to put your whole hand on.
Yes, absolutely.
That's much better than that one, you know, the stress relief kit.
Yes.
Where it says, you know, whenever under stress, bang head here.
Right.
This won't hurt as much.
No.
So just make a nice big red button or a yellow button and it says don't panic and put your hand on it.
Mm-hmm.
Remind yourself.
Well, the wonderful thing that the scientists have discovered when they've been working with quantum theory is that matter follows intention.
Mm-hmm.
When the scientists first started looking for quarks and they found them, they were real excited. And then they kept being surprised that they found them wherever they looked for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they expected that with the randomness of the universe, they would statistically find them more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually turned out that every time they looked for one, they found one. And I'm sure that most of the listeners have heard that in association with quarks, is quarks' behavior is modified by the observer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just turn that concept, you know, a quarter turn, basically what it says is that the quark will behave based upon your intention.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you say, don't panic, and press the red button that you have drawn on a piece of paper taped to the wall, and you say, I'm not going to panic, this is my don't panic button, once you have the intention of not panicking, you won't.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe it would be good at this point to explain that a little bit more about the experiment. They had a gate mechanism, and they had gate A and gate B. And so there's a fork in the road, basically. And they sent this particle down the tube to the fork in the road. And they wanted to see how many times it went to gate A and how many times it went to gate B. And they found out that when certain researchers were doing this work, it always went to gate A. When other ones were there, it went to gate B. So then they start saying, what if what they are expecting is what is happening? And then they found that if they intended that it go to gate A and then switched it, when it started down that little tube into gate A, it could be halfway down the tube, and the minute they decided that it should be at gate B, it instantly disappeared from that spot in gate A tunnel and went to gate B tunnel in exactly the same spot and went on and went through gate B. And that was all done with intent or with expectation. That's an incredible thing.
That's absolutely mind-boggling. And that's why quantum theory is so important today.
Yeah.
Because in the metaphysical world, we always knew that intention created our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we prayed, if we meditated, if we chanted, if we used some device that connected us to a universal spirit, God, the Creator, Yahweh, the goddess, whatever you named, the universal creator, we always knew that what your prayer or your meditation or your connection would result in an answer. But we never knew what the mechanism was.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finding that science has actually shown what the mechanism is, that the prayer is our intention, the chanting carries our intention, the meditation carries our intention, and it goes out and collects all these little quarks, and the quarks go, oh, this is what you want me to do. And so they collect all of the intentions, expectations, and activities that you want in your life, and they bring them into your life to manifest.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, isn't it, listeners? I can hear a bunch of them going, uh-oh.
You know that old adage, be careful what you wish for because you might get it?
Uh-huh.
Actually turns out to be true.
Yes, it's totally true. I mean, that's how witchcraft works. That's how voodoo works. I mean, everything. All of the so-called magical systems in the world are working by using the universal laws, and quantum physics explains those universal laws.
Precisely. Precisely. And so when you find that your life is chaotic, the first thing you need to do is intend that it become more orderly.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Simple step.
Yeah.
And it sounds obvious, but oftentimes we overlook the most obvious.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
I was just thinking of that in my own life, because you know what a mess my place is since I'm doing remodeling and trying to move and trying to decide what goes to storage, what goes to mom's, you know, what am I keeping, what am I getting rid of. And, you know, after flood damage and everything else, you know, all I do is walk around going, man, my house is a mess. And so, you know what? It is.
Of course, because that's what you say.
Yeah. And see, I know this stuff, and I still make that mistake, listeners. So, you know, don't be hitting yourself over the head with a bloody stump of your arm that you ripped off. You know, even those of us that know this make this mistake because, you know, we're human. And we're going through life, and, you know, our attention is taken elsewhere by all the things that are happening. And you find yourself in these little traps, and then you want to do the old slap to the forehead and go, oh, man, you know, I know better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it takes to get things fixed. So this is your reminder.
Right. And sometimes that's all it takes,
mm-hmm.
is someone to remind you of what the obvious is. I mean, nothing that we're going to say here today is new or earth-shattering. It is a reminder of what you already know.
Yeah.
And when you are in the midst of chaos, you can't remember it.
That's true, yeah.
And that's what is very helpful about having a mentor or a buddy or someone that you study with, because then you remind each other.
Yeah.
The things that you really do know.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point to make, because a lot of people get so disgusted with what's going on in their lives, they just figure, well, you know, I'm better off by myself. And, you know, it is true that the teacher lies within and all of your answers are within. But sometimes, especially in this modern world, there's so much chaos in our lives. And even if you're trying to be quiet and be by yourself, you know, you tend to get interrupted by lots of things. So if you have someone that you can talk to that kind of reminds you, you know, when you're doing those kinds of things, then, you know, it's a lot better than having to figure it out yourself 3 months later.
It certainly is.
At least it is for me. I'm not that patient. I want somebody to tell me, hey, look what you're doing here. Oh, yeah, I see that now. Okay, let's change that. And as I say all the time, listeners, you're the only one that can change your life. There's nobody else out there that can really change it. I mean, you think they can, but really it's you. And it has to start with your intent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes if you have someone that knows you, just point out the obvious. That can be so helpful.
Yeah.
So you start with your intent, and then the next thing you do is you take action. You don't put it off if you say, I want order in my life. Don't put it off. Start. somewhere. Just start somewhere. It doesn't matter where. Because a lot of people want to win the lottery. Oh, I want to win the lottery. I have to win the lottery. If only I win the lottery, and they go out and buy lottery tickets. Well, you have a lot of intention there, but what are you doing to further that goal?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have chaos in your life, what you need to do is you need to start doing something to reduce the chaos. Like Dr. Valerie was saying, you know, she's in the middle of garage sailing and remodeling and trying to move. Well, what she's doing is she's having a garage sale, right?
Yeah, I'm having the garage sales from hell. <You know? laughs> I'm having intensive garage sales.
Right, but you got started.
Exactly, and as I lighten up, then I feel more order within myself.
Yes.
And I mean, I love all these things that I had, and they're all, you know, in good condition, and I love them, and now it's time to pass them on to someone else. And as these things go, and I see the enjoyment that the people that purchase them have, then that's filling me up. It's filling me with light. You know, I'm happy to see that someone is happy, and they think that my treasures are treasures, too. So, you know, it helps you on a whole lot of different avenues. And one thing I'd like to bring up at this point, too, is garage sales are really important, or giving. I mean, I give a lot of stuff away, too. But I think one of the things that I've observed about giving and clearing things in my space is that I never have any really big disasters. You know, I mean, I had the flood inside. It wasn't a huge disaster. You know, and insurance took care of it. But, you know, I had the flood outside, nothing big from that. And it's just irritation. But then I look at people that lose everything. And, you know, I'm not talking about the hurricane victims. That's different. That is a huge disaster. But, I mean, you know, I heard of one lady when I was a nurse years ago. This lady was an RN. She was working lots of hours. She had like 15 kids that she had adopted. And so she was working as many overtime hours as possible. And this woman hoarded every little thing. And every 4 years, she had a fire. I mean, a big fire. The entire house burned down. And I always thought, isn't that interesting? Here's someone who has taken in 15 children, orphans. And she's caring for them, and she's not married, so it's just her. And I guess she had, you know, a few older kids to help, too. But everybody knew that she was a hoarder. You know, she would not let one single thing go out of her life. And so, of course, we all banded together, you know, and gave her clothes and jewelry and, you know, kitchen stuff and, you know, whatever she needed. But I always thought that was really interesting. And then I've heard of other people, too, that have had at least one house fire in their life, if not two or three. And I always thought that was so strange. And I always asked them, do you tend to give away your things when you're done using them? They always said no.
Mm-hmm.
I can keep it because I might be able to use it for something else. And so they had accumulations of things. I'm not talking about collections. I'm talking about saving like every newspaper and saving, you know, every magazine, or saving all of your toys from childhood, even if they're battered and broken and things like that, not being able to let go.
Yes, because the universe is about movement.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's about movement and change. No matter how hard we try and hang on, we cannot stop change. It happens every day. The sun goes down. You can't hang on to sunshine.
Exactly. Stuff keeps happening.
Right.
And, you know, when the stuff happens, you have to be able to respond to it.
Yes.
And if you can't respond, you know, if you can't let go and roll with the punches, so to speak, then you start having some big problems.
Yes. Because
so what I'm suggesting is that there are times when we should all go through the things in our lives and, you know, get rid of the stuff that you're not using or that you have no plans to use in the future. Think about how somebody might be able to use that. And, you know, there's always disasters around the planet. You know, look at all the hurricane victims and the tsunami victims and earthquake victims. I mean, you know, you can't possibly need every little thing that you have. And, you know, unless you're extremely poor and you only have the absolute basics. But even then, I find that, that people hang on to things that just are really strange. And I think if you just let the flow happen and you're open to it and you're moving with the universe does not like stagnation. In the universe, things have to move. You know, they can't be in a vacuum. Things have got to move. They've got to interact. They've got to play with everything else. We are in the quantum soup.
Absolutely.
And we are like little particles in the quantum soup. So we're going to keep moving or being moved. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to go through things like moving and giving things away and selling things and all that stuff. And if you haven't ever done it before, I highly recommend you do it. I've done it all my life, and, you know, so it's pretty easy for me to detach. But it's so funny because people talk to me and say, well, you know, you have to let these things go, and I just start laughing. It's so easy to let things go once you do it.
Because the gift of letting it go is it allows something new to come in.
Exactly, and that's fun.
And Dr. Valerie, I have to tell you, and I'd like to share this with the listeners, about 15 years ago now, I came across a small book, and I lent it to someone, and I don't have it anymore. And I think it was written like in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
and it was on prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want prosperity in our life. None of us like worrying about money and finances and where that's going to come from.
Yeah.
And the author talked about exactly what you're saying. Is you need to keep things moving and in the flow so that you can release what you have and get something new into your life. And he talked about being in the flow and giving. And by giving away, you are opening to receiving because it's a cycle.
Yeah, and it's the type of things that you give, too.
Right.
And you had mentioned that to me, what was it, last year, I think it was?
Yes.
When I was saying, you know, I don't get it. What's going on with this? You know, I get too much outflow and not enough income.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, you're giving away your time and, you know, your skills, and so that's what you're getting back.
Right.
And if you want to get money back, you have to give money.
Yes.
And the light bulb went on. I went, oh, yeah, that's true. I get a lot of invitations to things for free,
mm-hmm.
and I have people that want to work on me for free because I work on a lot of people that way. And since I started paying a little bit more attention to that and making sure that there was money exchanging hands, then the money started to flow.
Yes.
So that was a really interesting observation, and I have to thank you for that because that's one of the things that changed my life.
You're very welcome, because that changed my life, too. I find now that whenever I'm getting short of funds, whenever I think things are getting tight, I start giving money away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I give money away, money starts flowing back in.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be huge amounts either.
No.
It's just the act of letting go of that we seem to think there's a lack of.
Right. Because one of the things that giving money away does is it tells the universe, I have enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough to share.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have enough money to share, then the universe is going to give you more so that you can share it with more people.
Exactly. And it's like I always look at the universe as a diner, you know,
yes.
or as a department store type thing. You know, you go in and you slap your money down on the counter and you say, I want this. And the universe says, you want this. And you hear it called out to the back, you know.
Yeah.
And then they scurry and they put your order together and they send it to you. And, you know, when you're doing this with the money, you're saying, I have plenty of money and I love sharing it. And so the order goes back. You have plenty of money and you love sharing it. And it gets echoed and echoed and echoed. And then pretty soon the flood of money comes back at you.
Exactly.
And it's really interesting. And I always tell people, too, you know, people say, well, I just need like $1 million to fall on me out of the sky. And I just start laughing. And I tell them, please don't say that. because, you know, weird things happen in life.
Right.
And I just get this visual picture of $1 million falling out of a plane flying overhead, and it'd kill you.
Right.
So, you know, you wouldn't be able to enjoy it.
Right.
You have to be careful what you say.
I was reading a story where a guy needed a new pair of running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent out the intent that he would get, and he didn't have enough money to afford them at the time. So he sent out the intent that he would get a new pair of running shoes. And he put his heart and mind behind that, and he believed it, and he went to the recycling center to drop off his recycling. And what do you know, someone had left a new pair of running shoes on the ledge for someone to use. You know, apparently they didn't fit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went, wow, terrific. And he took them home, and he tried them on. And they were too small.
Oh, no.
Because he didn't say.
He forgot to specify his size.
Yeah, well, I want a new pair of running shoes for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you before, one of the guys I knew in Las Vegas that was a hiker, he was wishing for a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he exactly detailed what he wanted in this girlfriend. And one of the things he mentioned was that he wanted her to have an ample chest. And so he got the girlfriend. She was exactly what he had asked for, everything right down the line. And then he realized he forgot to say natural breast.
Oh.
She had silicone. I about fell off the chair laughing when I heard that one. And, I mean, it just shows you that the universe does have a sense of humor, you know. So, yes, you have to be very clear about what you want. And that's the people's biggest problem. Their mind is in chaos.
Yes.
And this is why we put this show together today, listeners. It's for all of you who have been wondering why things are not working in your lives, and you can't get clarity. And so many people ask me, I don't know how to get clarity. How do I get that? You know, and you know, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and I don't know, you know, how do I start? So let's tell the listeners how to get clarity.
One of my recommendations is, first of all, you start small. Pick one item that you want in your life and be concrete about it. And don't start off with, I want a brand new navy blue Mercedes-Benz with an interior. Start practicing on something small and concrete. And make it. And I suggest writing it down, because when you write it down, you can make it clear. You can change it around. You can reword it. And you can be very specific about what you want. Later on, you can do it in your meditations or in your mind. But start off writing it down.
Yeah.
Then the next thing is, you always start off in the positive. One of the things that I didn't get for a very long time is the universe doesn't recognize the word not.
Mm, true. It doesn't exist.
Or no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I do not want I do not want any problems in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what the universe hears is, I want problems.
Yeah.
I do not want another flat tire this week. What do you know? I got a flat tire this week.
Uh-huh.
And I just said I didn't want one. But it doesn't get it that way. You need to frame things. You need to frame your intention in the positive. I want my car to work perfectly this week. I want my tires to last me another 10,000 miles.
Yeah. Or just to say, you know, my car works perfectly.
Yes.
My tires last another 10,000 miles yet.
Or
and,
more.
And, you know, I don't like to say want, because then the universe says, you want this, and you can continue wanting it forever.
Exactly.
So depending on you know, what your self-talk is, some people can get away with saying that.
Yes.
I found I couldn't.
And the other side of want in English, in the language English, means to desire.
Uh-huh.
There is another meaning of the word want, and that is lack.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
There was a want of water in the Arizona desert this summer. And so the universe can hear the word want as lack. And so I avoid using the word want too.
Yeah.
Try is another one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you can try all you want, and if you never do it, it never comes.
Yeah.
You know, I'll try to be a better person. Well, you never will be a better person if you're always trying.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to frame things in the positive, and you want to frame your desires in the present
yeah.
tense. I am a better person. I am a better person today.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I have everything that I want and plenty of money in the bank.
Yes.
And, you know, people, this is quantum physics.
Yes.
And it's also called conscious languaging. And when you put your intent together with conscious languaging, that's when the miracles happen. And, you know, miracles are really just something unexpected, but really our lives should be filled with miracles, and they should all be connected to who we really are, which they are. We just forget that. So if you get your conscious languaging down, and then you get your intent behind it and the emotion behind it, then you'll really see miraculous stuff happen in your lives.
I think it was Gandhi who kind of synthesized some of the Eastern philosophy and said, and this is not an exact quote, but the concept is, emotions follow thought, actions follow emotions, and behavior follows... No, wait a minute. I don't think I have this quite right. Valerie, do you remember it? It's,
no, I don't remember the exact quote.
I
tend to paraphrase a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I remember is that where attention
yes.
goes, energy flows.
Yes, and you have thoughts and words and actions.
Yeah.
So the way you think influences what you say, and what you say influences how you behave.
Mm-hmm.
And Gandhi said it much more succinctly and beautifully. But that's the concept, that thoughts influence your words, and your words influence your actions and the reality. I would add, and your reality.
Oh, definitely.
Because your thoughts and your words create your reality.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why I keep harping on how important it is for people to learn to be out of fear and to not pay such attention to the news and you know, what the bad guys are trying to do. It's okay to know that it's going on, but it's not okay to focus on it. Because where your attention goes, your energy flows. And so you're actually helping to create what the bad guys want. And instead, why don't we focus on what the good guys are after, which is enlightenment for the whole planet, and, you know, a world of peace and unity and great harmony and love. And so if we focus on that, but still do what we have to do in day-to-day life, you know, I mean, let's use the laws of the universe, which quantum physics is explaining to us. Let's really learn how to use this, and I can guarantee you the bad guys know how to do it. They've known how to do it for a long time, and that's why we're in this mess, because the rest of us are going around going, do-do-do-do-do-do, oh, everything's fine, I don't have anything to do with this. And because we've forgotten, we've allowed this stuff to happen, and every single person that is alive on this planet is responsible, every one of us.
Yeah.
And so if you're sitting there thinking you're not responsible, you better go take another look in the mirror. Each one of us is a creator. And any time that you lend your emotions your fears to what's going on out in the world, you're increasing that. And quantum physics shows us that that is so. So, you know, what we're trying to do here today is to give you a different way to go, mm-hmm. to restore hope, which really is all you need. You know, hope creates miracles,
yeah.
because hope allows you to move into the essence of yourself, that God spark. Hope allows you to connect to that. And, you know, we're hoping to give you a few little tidbits here to help you to learn to move from chaos into order, because the universe is moving from chaos into order. And, you know, things just have to naturally align. And they will, you know, with or without us in this lifetime, it's still going to align. And, you know, personally, I'd rather be on the side of actually helping in that alignment.
And one of the things that we can do is when you hear something negative on the news or something bad happening, you can send positive thoughts, positive energy, and say positive words to counteract it. When you turn on the news at night and they're talking about the war in Iraq, don't think, oh, this is terrible. The conflict is still going on and people are getting killed every day. Because what that does is that feeds that energy.
Right, and so then it goes on and people get killed every day. And,
right.
You know, it just continues.
Yes, and so what you do, what I do is when I hear that, I send out the thought and say, bless everyone in Iraq. May all of the warriors find peace in their hearts so that there is peace in the land and that everyone lives in peace and harmony.
Mm.
And not only does that counteract the negative information that your brain is receiving, it also sends out a positive energy force, those quirks that are in our energy field waiting for us to tell them what to do, go, oh, okay, that's what you want? You want peace in Iraq? And they go running away to Iraq and go knocking on the warriors' doors and say, here's a thought for peace.
Yeah. I know it sounds simplistic, but it really is. Quantum physics is ultimately very simple.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to be a genius to understand how to use it in your life. And, I mean, it's as simple as where your attention goes, energy flows.
Absolutely.
They've proven that with the quarks. They've also proven that sometimes we have particles, sometimes we have waves. You know, it's very interesting stuff. And I guess the best thing that I can do for you listeners is to encourage you to trust more in yourselves and to trust that everything is in order, really. And when you do that, then you'll notice that your life is less chaotic. You'll notice that things start to make more sense, and it will be easier for you to move through the chaos. And just, you know, remove yourself from really chaotic situations. You know, if you're in a family where everybody's screaming and hollering at everybody, just kind of get up and walk away. You don't have to play a part in it. You know, I mean, I could tell you tons of stories of when I've done that to people, and it changes them. And I've even done it way down in the jungles in Belize, where we had one guy that was kind of against women, and so he was constantly going off in this weird loop. Anytime he said anything about what women were about, he would just go off in this loop, and I realized you couldn't talk to him, so I got up and left. Left him in the jungle there, and he was the guide. And after a while, he said, well, where did you guys go? And I said, well, I don't need to listen to that crap. You know, that's your thing. That's your loop. And so I removed myself from that situation because I found myself becoming angry because what the man was saying was not true. Might have been true in his little experience, but it was not true for all of us women. And so, you know, rather than me getting on a loop and creating more anger, which, by the way, the bad guys feed on, then I just said, I don't have to be part of this at all. So I got up and left. And after I did that a few times, he quit saying those things. Now, he still believed them, but at least he stopped saying them around me. And so that made him stop perpetuating that, at least for the time that he was around me. And you can do that with a family argument. You know, you should be able to talk things out in a calm and rational manner. If you can't, then that's not the time to talk about it. You know, take a deep breath and say, look, I can't talk about this now. You know, wait till I calm down. Because when your feelings get involved, then you get a problem and you're into creating chaos. So the way to stop the chaos in your life is back off. You know, just turn around, walk away and say, you know, I'll talk to you when we're both calmed down. And, you know, we can discuss this rationally and come to a viable solution. And same thing with all this stuff that's going on. You're watching the news and you hear all this stuff. Instead of sitting there going, tisk, tisk, oh, that's awful. Oh, you know, they're never going to catch that baseline killer and all that other stuff like we've had going here in Phoenix, you know. Just don't do it. You know, if you want to really help, just sit there and look at the news and say, oh, they catch that killer. They catch him tomorrow. And he doesn't hurt anybody else. Then see what happens. And if you really want to see some things change, get a group of your friends together and just do a little experiment. You know, just get yourselves together at a certain time. Maybe you're watching the news and you're on the phone and you say, all right, let's change this. And you declare in a positive statement, this is no longer happening. Well, no, you can't say no longer. This situation is resolved, or this killer is captured tomorrow or today or whatever. You know, but just do something like that and see what happens. Or, you know, this person is well. This person makes a miraculous recovery. And then watch the news the next day or two, you know, and say, oh, person that was found on the street near death makes miraculous recovery. So that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there are intention groups starting all over the country.
Yes.
And there are several locally in Arizona. And if you want to create an intention group and you want some information on intention groups, there's a small book called The Intenders Handbook, and it's written by Tony Burroughs, and they have a website at www.intenders.com, and it tells you how to set up an intenders group, and it's simply a group of people that get together and they meet once a week, and it's for the intenders of the highest good. Mm-hmm. And you know, it gives you a guideline on how to set up an intenders group, and it's very powerful, because if you get together with a group of people, which was another of my suggestions, is to get together with a group of people and state your positive intentions for your life. And those positive intentions will come true.
Absolutely. Because and, you know, if it's a huge thing, it might take a little while.
Excuse me?
But there's no difference in the size of miracles. It just might take a little while to line everything up for you. Mm-hmm. But it's like a friend of mine that was in my mastermind group. I said, well, you know, I'm intending to be a billionaire. And she said, I can't get my mind around that. I said, there's no difference in miracles. Didn't you just tell me that? She said, yeah. I said, then what's the difference between a million and a billion? It's just a couple more zeros. And she said, I can't wrap my mind around that. But, you know, it just kind of gives you an example. You know, there are no differences in miracles in the sizes. So just, you know, a miracle is a miracle. Intention is intention. And we can have and be everything that we want. And, you know, it's up to you to decide what you want and then go after it.
And if you get together with a group, the more energy you put into your intentions, the faster they come true.
Exactly.
Because
the more
emotion you have going in that direction.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I can tell you that's how I got through nursing school and med school. You know, it was totally intention, because believe me, I was exhausted. You know, I didn't have any energy left. But it was total immersion, total intention. And then suddenly you are that.
Yes.
And, you know, same thing if you're trying to really change your life. You know, you can change it. You're the only one that can. But you have to take that first step. And for me, the first step is always noticing that there's a problem and life is not the way I'm wanting it to be. And then the second step is to clarify, what do I want? And then once you do the what do I want, then you can move into the preparing to get it and behaving as if you already have it. You know, and Tony Robbins tells stories about people that said, well, I want to win $1 million in 6 months. And he said, okay. And these people went around and told everybody that they had won $1 million. And they hadn't. And, you know, a few months went by, and then suddenly they won $1 million. And he said everybody thought they were crazy because they kept going around behaving as if they had won that $1 million.
Yes, and that creates their reality.
Exactly. So hopefully this has been a great help. We're going to have to sign off in a few minutes. But
one other thing that I would like to add, and I'll make this quick,
okay,
is I think one of the other things that helps is gratitude.
Oh, definitely.
You need to be thankful for what you have, and as soon as you make your intention and you affirm that it is in your life, be grateful that you have received it.
Mm-hmm.
Because gratitude is a way of saying, thank you, universe, I want more.
Yeah.
Do it again.
It's like, hey, this is fun. I like this.
Yeah, do it again.
Yeah.
Because it raises your energy. It raises your energy, and it gives, I think it's like giving positive reinforcement to your quirks. Oh, you did good. You did good, guys. Mm-hmm. Go out and do some more.
Yeah. Yeah, because every part of us is alive.
Yes.
And, you know, when you start to realize that and give thanks for your body, you know, don't cuss it out because it hurts. It's trying to tell you something. You know, give thanks for every portion of yourself. And gratitude truly is the only proper attitude. And when you get into that and you start really behaving that way and being grateful constantly, like I'm so grateful for everything. I just love it. And even the bad stuff, well, not bad, but, you know, the stuff that's irritating or annoying in life, I'm still grateful for that too, because it always points out something. There's always a lesson, and there's always something that I hadn't paid attention to that I need to pay attention to. And so I'm very grateful for that, because it's better than getting the smack upside the head with the celestial 2x4 again.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had enough of those. My head's very lumpy, thank you. So I'm a living example of the fact that gratitude can get you through a lot. And all I can say is you got to be grateful. And even if you have nothing, you know, if you're sitting at the library listening to this, or if you're at somebody else's house listening because you don't even have a computer, or you don't have a house to live in, or, you know, whatever it is that you feel you're lacking in your life, still be grateful for what you do have. Be grateful for the sunlight and for clean air and for the gentle breeze and for clean water and things like that. Just be grateful for what you have, and then you get more of it.
Valerie, I'm breaking in here because I love you.
I
just love you. I hear your program, and I don't know, you talk like I feel. And I really, really love it. I just love having you here, and I also wanted to let the audience know, because a lot of people seem to be quiet, not calling in. But please know that Valerie's going to a prime time slot, folks. It's going to be 7 p.m. here this Tuesday. And we're just thankful to have you a part of this network. Thank you, Valerie.
You are so sweet.
So I just had to break in and let you know.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Donald, you are just the sweetest guy. And listeners, if you've had a chance to talk with Don and Doug, they are incredible beings, and I am very grateful, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have this program, and I wouldn't be able to get the message out, and, you know, one of my favorite things is getting the message out. So I'm extremely grateful for that, and I'm just continually grateful for every little thing that happens. And I know that Don and Doug are too, and they're just moving into bigger and bigger venues and more incredible stuff. And I know Ariane is also, because we hang out and we get to talk to each other about the great stuff that we're doing. And in fact, we're taking a little trip to Hawaii to celebrate life.
And that was a miracle.
Yeah, it was a miracle. I was just kind of surfing through the net, and I saw this thing. It was $800 for, you know, the flight to Hawaii plus a week on the ship. And I called her up and said, hey, listen to this. And so we decided, what the heck, we deserve to have a vacation. So we're just going to take off and have a good time. And for you listeners who are planning on going on the Sacred Journeys cruise in March, I'm going to be presenting on that cruise. I'm going to be doing some God-Goddess emotional healing and stability workshops, and we're going to have a great time with that, and I'm bringing a set of projectors with me. So we'll be also using those and intending. We will have intention sessions where we do intend for the highest good of the planet, and that's going to be fun. Really looking forward to that. And now I guess I better just kind of get ready to get off here before they put the old hook out there, you know. So I do want to get a little bit of music in. And for you listeners, you know, my intro and my exit music is by a mutual friend of Ariane and mine. And her name is Misa Hopkins. She's a sound medicine healer. And she and her music partner, Richard, have a wonderful CD called Awaken the Dream. And it's by Miss Sara. And so that's the intro and exit music. And thank you so much, Ariane, for being on the program today. You are always a delight to talk with, and we have fun, and we're going to have more fun.
We do, and it's been a pleasure being here, and thank you, Dr. Valerie.
You bet, and I will talk to you soon. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that this has helped you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're so grateful for every one of you that listens and gets the message and spreads it on to other people, and I love your emails. Thank you for sending those in, and I'm just happy to know that I can help you and that the people that I bring on are of a help to you also. So I'm just filled with gratitude. What can I say? So in the meantime, be happy, be healthy. And now here, let us dance out to the exit music.